So this morning, we're continuing in James, our foundations of faith. Last week, we talked about temptation. And this week, we are continuing that stream of thought about temptation by looking at what James has to say. Before we do that, I want to read a quote from Dr. Robert R. Redfield. Dr. Redfield is the Center for Disease Control, and this was said on July 14th. Today is July 26th, so 12 days ago. This is what the director of the CDC said. We are not defenseless against COVID-19. Cloth face coverings are one of the most powerful weapons we have to slow and stop the spread of the virus, particularly when used universally within a community setting. All Americans have a responsibility to protect themselves, their families, and their communities. That's what he said. Now, imagine that someone says to you, upon hearing this statement from Dr. Redfield, I accept the authority of the CDC director, and I agree with what is being said, but I am still not going to wear a mask in public. What would you think of that? Then you don't really believe in the authority of the CDC. Then you don't really believe what you have heard. And you may say, yes, I agree, but by your actions, you're not agreeing. And that's what James is getting at in these verses before us. Do we decide before we listen, when it comes to public health or public office, when it comes to gossip or God's word, do we make up our minds about what we're going to do before we hear what they have to say? That is a temptation that we are wise to avoid. James addresses this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this, that we must resist the temptation to respond before we reflect. He gives us three commands right off the top. We are told to take note of a godly progression. Be quick to listen. And actually, the grammar of the original Greek is really be quick in order to listen. Be slow in order to speak. And be slow toward your anger. Be quick. Your first thought, your first inclination should be to listen. Whether that is listening to God, listening to godly counsel, listening to others, listening to the world, we ought to be quick to listen. We ought to be priming our minds and our thoughts and our lives so that the first thing we do is listen. And then slowly we act in such a way that we begin to speak and that we begin to curb our anger. these three things: our instinctual, our natural. We hear things simply because we're human beings. But what James wants us to do, not just hear, but he wants us to begin with listening. We are prone to speak. Most of us love to speak. Love to hear the sound of our own voices. And the Bible cautions us to listen first. We are also inclined toward emotion, in particular anger. And that should be our third position. First, I'm going to listen. Then I'm going to speak. And then, maybe, if I have no other recourse, then maybe I'll become angry. But we have to understand what verse 19 says, or verse 20 says, sorry. For a person's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. One's anger does not produce God's righteousness, is what the scripture says. You are not going to produce God's righteousness if you are an angry person. Righteous action does not spring from anger. Now you may say, what about righteous indignation? Aren't we supposed to be angry at the things God's angry about? Maybe, but God's angry at them. We don't need to be angry at them. Should we stand up for ourselves? And yes, but we don't need to be angry about it. God's righteous standard is not fulfilled. What God desires for us in right living is not fulfilled when we are acting out of anger. James 3:9. When we get to James 3, we'll talk about this. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. When we speak angrily, we are cursing what God created. That's not what God wants. Also in James 5, verse 9, when we get to James chapter 5 and talk about the coming judgment, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. There is a righteousness that is now, a standard of behavior that God says is right and good. And anger doesn't accomplish that. There is a judgment to come when we stand before God. And we're not going to be credited and benefited by being angry. Instead, what verse 21 says, we should get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in us. We can be confident that we are slow to speak, slow to become angry, quick to listen, if we show restraint. If we recognize that there are things that are not worth dealing with, talking about, getting angry over. When we refuse to allow moral filth into our minds, and when we tune out the abundant evil around us, when we strip off like dirty laundry these things that cling to us, and when we show humility, we accept or receive or welcome God's Word, then we tend to it as a seed implanted. We water it. We feed it. We prune it. And then we respond appropriately. We allow it to save us, to redeem us, to deliver us from the things that seek to attack. We need to listen. I need to listen. I'm not sure that I am quick to listen. I think sometimes I'm quick to speak. Sometimes I'm slow to get angry, but once that fuse is lit, there's no shutting it off. And maybe if I listened more, the fuse would not get lit in the first place. But that's not all. We need to move our faith further than just listening, taking in God's Word, even tending to it and accepting it. We need to do more. We must resist the temptation to listen but not live out. Sort of like what I was saying before. I'm listening to Dr. Redfield. He's saying that I should wear a mask to show protection for myself, my family, my community. And it's not just enough to listen, but I also need to live out. And so James gives us one other command in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. We are deceiving ourselves if we think knowledge is enough. If we think I know what the Bible says is enough. Because it isn't. James gives us a picture of what listening without doing is like. And he gives us this picture of a person who hears and does nothing. He looks at his face in a mirror. And literally what the Bible says, what the Greek says, he looks at the face of his birth. He looks at his natural face. He looks at who he is. This isn't for cosmetic appearances. This isn't for cleanliness. He is looking in a mirror to know who he is. Looks at himself and says, I am a human being. It's the face of his birth. The face he has, or who he is. And he walks away and he forgets what sort he is. He forgets who he is. He forgets that he is a thinking, living, active human being. And he acts accordingly, with godlessness, forgetting what his purpose is, forgetting what his appropriate appearance ought to be. On the other hand, we could be like the one who hears and does. And she looks into God's Word instead of looking at ourselves as in a mirror. And she looks intently. She leans in. She stoops down. The only other time this word is used in the Scripture, it is about the resurrection, when I think it's John, but it might be the women. I think it's John, though. John and Mark. They look into the tomb. Mark looks in, and then John looks in, and then Peter walks right by him. It's to look in, to look intently, to stoop down and see. And they look into that word, that perfect or maturing law that gives freedom, that enables us to have release from bondage and opportunity to achieve. And she does not forget who she is. By looking at God's word, she fully understands who she is, and she acts accordingly. She has been released from the bondage of sin and of human definition. And she has the opportunity to achieve, to do, to live with purpose. And she acts. And she is blessed by what she does. Note whose life is blessed or happy. It is not the one who hears God's word and immediately forgets it. It is the one who hears God's word and puts it into practice. The one who remembers and responds. There is a third point, sort of a summation of what James has been teaching. Religion has value when we both hear and do. James, in these final two verses, repeats his initial teaching. There are some who do right things without listening. They are not quick to listen. They are quick to speak. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. So, what James says is these people are religious, meaning that they are practicing appropriate, worshipful ritual toward the God of the Bible. They're going to church. They're offering sacrifices. They're fasting. They're reading their scriptures. But they are not quick to listen. They are quick to speak, deceiving themselves, thinking that they are something that they are not. And what James says through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what God says is those religious ritualistic practices are worthless. It makes no difference if you hear God's word and do not do it, James would say. However, there are some whose right practices are accepted by God. They are also religious. They are also practicing worshipful ritual behavior toward the God of the Bible. But they are listening and doing what the scriptures declare. They are meeting the needs of those in distress. They are living out a disciplined life. Their actions have present and lasting value. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure, unadulterated, faultless, without blemish, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Two-pronged practices. Caring for those that are in need, whoever they may be. Especially those that the society has overlooked. James in the first century is telling the people of the church, care for those who have no one to care for them. And we would do wise to do the same. I can't tell you who you ought to be helping. But I can tell you that I am sure that you come across people who are left out by our society. And those are the people the church ought to be welcoming in. But that's only part of it. To care for those around us that need caring for, and to discipline ourselves. Not discipline others, not judge others, but to discipline ourselves. To know what the Word says and commit to living it out in ever-increasing fashion, so that we are not polluted by the world. God wants us to listen and to live out what we hear. Ultimately, we can do all sorts of external things. We can sing, we can sacrifice, we can sermonize. But if it is not impacting those around us or influencing our inner self, it is empty. We need to allow God's Word to move into and ultimately beyond our thoughts and affect our actions. We must reflect, respond, and relate. Our sermon in a sentence is this: real faith is not only professed, real faith is also practiced. As Micah 6:8 says, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God desires for us to have an active faith, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly, not just talking about justice, not just thinking about mercy, not just encouraging humility, but acting and loving and walking in these ways. And in order to do that, we need to first listen and then lead on. Real faith is not only professed, real faith is also practiced. Shall we pray?